Just a warning, what you're about to see is a bit graphic.
Welcome to Flyerside Chat. Here it is. Well, I get so worked up for these episodes, and then I get so scared because it's not the right date. Because the dates don't matter. It's Tuesday, November 21, 2023.
In our world.
In our world. Yeah. You were hearing this in the future.
Future. miniseries continues.
Yes. Back with our mini-series. Today's topic, relationships.
Oh, we're jumping right into the deep end.
Well, do you have anything else you want to get out of it? We just talked less than 12 hours ago. We recorded our real show. Something big happened between now and then?
No, but something 37 seconds ago said that we were starting with other topics in the mini-series first on our multiple pre-record.
Oh, you want to do TVs first? All right.
Well, let's just go right in. At this point.
Okay, we'll stick with relationships.
Well, let's roll with that. That's brilliant. Oh, my God. He just said that.
Brilliant. I opened the wrong note here.
Who gives a shit? It's not like we're not recording like three episodes anyway.
Yeah, we'll fucking figure it out. Oh, good.
But
yes,
today's
pre-recording.
Today's first of three topics is relationships.
Yes.
Unbeknownst to the second co-host, me. Until now.
That's fine. Let's see. This person says, what did you learn about marriage from your parents? Don't
wow.
do it.
Wow. Yeah. That's
stay loaded. Single forever.
Don't so what kids. I learned... What I genuinely learned was that I think that staying together specifically for the kids is not a healthy option, not just for your parents, but for the children as well. I think that no matter how good you think you're doing it, no matter how much you believe your children can't tell, there is a palpable energy shift there. And there is some passive aggressiveness that comes out. Because no one in that house is living their genuine self, their genuine like happiness in life. So it is a horrible decision. My parents are, one of them's a piece of shit human being. The other one is like a lovable idiot. And I feel like they stuck together for both me and my sister, as well as the fact that I don't think either of them could have afforded to live on their own. So I think they were like kind of stuck in today's world. But I would argue that neither of those things are a good enough reason to stay together. You got to figure it out. And you got to figure it out on your own. So that was the biggest thing I learned from my parents. If you can't tell how dysfunctional my family was, from the abridged, very abridged version. And it did make me very hesitant to ever want to get married. I was very happy with Stephanie just dating. But that pressure started to really kind of mount. And it took a long time for me to even hit that proposal mark. There was a lot of internal debate there of like, you know, is this really what I want to do? Obviously I really want to be with this individual. This is important to her. And ultimately I think that even, you know, just because your parents sucked at something doesn't mean you will. So there you go.
Just don't get married, everybody. That's the lesson of the day here.
There's Dan's. That's opening us up quite jaded. You imagine anyone who gets beyond the first question, they're like, well, Dan says don't, so fuck relationships, right? End of the episode.
You know, whatever. This person says, favorite thing your partner did for you on a special occasion?
Huh. So Stephanie is much more a like gift related person. Like her thing is gifts, not really, well, really anything else. It's just kind of her love language, so to speak. Which is funny because that means next to nothing to me. I really have to work on that in our relationship to kind of balance those things out. But what I will say is when I ultimately left a job that I knew I needed to leave for several years, and it took me several years to finally get to a place where I was going to do it, I knew that I was going to leave myself about a month, a little less than a month of time without work in between the next stop. And I did that by design, which ultimately ended up becoming 6 months, but who's counting? She had recalled me mentioning one time to her my favorite book. It's called Papillon. And that I had always intended to revisit it, but just never really found the time to do so. You know, when I came home from work that day, on my kitchen counter was that book. And she's like, hey, I know you're going to have some time to decompress. She's like, I know you. I know that you're going to go out and, you know, you're going to start, you know, ripping apart the basement and hanging new drywall. And you're going to do all this other ridiculous shit and not just relax and take care of yourself. So hopefully this book will give you a little bit of time and a reason to just unwind. And it was exactly what I needed, because I was so totally ready to just fucking go to Depot and load up the back of the truck with a bunch of home projects to get me through 3 weeks before I started working again. So she knew that that was something I really needed. So that was one of the like sweeter things that she's done for me.
Yeah, I'm not much of a gift giver or receiver either, but yeah. I do think one of the things that sticks out is the 2018 autographed women's gold medal helmet, the goalie helmet.
That's pretty awesome.
That I had got for Christmas a couple years ago, he got for me. And it's one of the only Christmas presents that I can ever even recall off the top of my head. That was a pretty cool one.
That's how you know something's pretty great. Yeah. Especially for guys like us who are not necessarily gift people. So let me ask you this, just while on that topic. Since you're also not like a big gift giver or receiver, like that's not really something that does it for you, are you more experience driven? Like if someone were to sit there and be like, hey, I got us reservations to, you know, some great restaurant and then a show in New York. Or, hey, I booked us a weekend getaway somewhere, like an experience-driven thing. Is that more your speed, or are you just kind of...
It's certainly better than, you know, some random something off of Amazon. It's like, as an adult, like, I can buy whatever I need, you know? So it's like, there's so many of those things, you know? My sister and I always exchange lists. It's like $50. And it's like, here's a crock pot that I've had on, which I could talk a story about in a minute, but like, here's a crock pot that I need right now. So like, that's the Christmas thing for Black Friday. Here's, you know, $25, you know what I mean? So, but it's like, I could do that myself. So a lot of that stuff at this point, you know, just doesn't mean a lot as an adult, but that goalie helmet was one of the cool things.
I think the pressure as an adult certainly comes from how much does this person pay attention to you, what's important to you, maybe some things that you might have mentioned, and kind of acting within the realm of that. So, you know, in terms of gift giving, I think, and that is certainly where my wife excels. I mean, the things that she has gotten me over the years, like she got me an autographed Colt McCoy jersey from Texas, is my favorite college quarterback of all time. Same type of thing where I was like, I didn't know that she knew who Colt McCoy was. I didn't even recall mentioning that to her. But I must have, you know, at some point. You know, she got me a piece of artwork that is, it is like the original blueprints, not blueprints, it's the wrong word, but basically of a Major League Baseball. You know, like how they designed this thing that we now know as the Major League Baseball. And it was fucking awesome. So I do think that like as an adult, you do have to stick to that as opposed to the like, here is this wonderful item that I've gotten from Amazon that you too could have bought yourself.
Yeah.
That means nothing.
Yeah.
It is very different. So, but yeah, along those lines, very much so an experience driven person versus a, you know, gift item type of person. I'd much rather give you an evening that you want to talk about, you know, with all your friends for years to come, or a vacation getaway or something like that.
Yeah, but the crockpot thing, just to go off on that one quickly.
Yes, do it.
Mine almost blew up this morning. So.
Oh my God.
I got to run some errands this early this afternoon, then I got a show to record later tonight, so I needed something for dinner that wasn't going to bother me. So I plugged the crockpot in and set it up, and then I went up and took a shower, and I got out of the shower and came out, and I'm like, man, it smells like hot oil, like somebody just deep-fried something. I'm like, that's fucking weird. So I go downstairs, and it's emanating from the kitchen, and the crockpot, which was set on low, was scalding to the touch. So Jesus. Something in there was malfunctioning.
That heat element is strong.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of those times I'm glad I was fucking home today. Because sure. It's, you know, the holiday break. So thank God for that. But yeah, I need a new crockpot now is the moral of that story.
Well, there you go. I mean, did you plug another appliance into that outlet just to make sure it wasn't anything there? And that it was
strictly... not the outlet. No.
All right. Good. I could just only imagine you sitting there and plugging a toaster into it next time and that exploding.
Yeah, no, it wasn't the outlet. It wasn't just the
fucking That is a shame, though, man. Crockpot's a lovely thing. And don't you... Isn't there something... Because I don't know if you're like me. I see my crockpot, and I'm like, that's a great idea. And it's like, I'm just going to set this up, and my whole house smells all day like, you know, delicious food. And you're like, oh, this is great. This is like a low-intense meal that you know, I've made, but it's going to taste good. And all day, you got that anticipatory just, like, excitement for it, right? Yep. And you're like, this is great. And then you see that crockpot... again, and you're like, maybe tomorrow. I never fucking use it, and every time I think I should use it, I don't. So the fact that you decided to use it and it decided to blow up on you, that's a real fucking shame.
Yeah.
Also, would have been hilarious had it blown up and had I worked your fire with my company.
Shane.
Can you come tell me what happened? I need to sue somebody.
This person's... This person says, would you want to try pegging? Shane.
I was just about to say, I was like, well, do you know who our lead host is? wait, actually, that's a question. I mean, I suppose that you could wear a strap-on and use your unit and go to Cox
DP, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that something you'd entertain?
Sure.
There you go.
The more Cox in the ass, the better.
There, Jesus. Well, there you go. No, I don't think so. So not with Stephanie, but with a previous partner, we were all out one night, like after work or something. And you know, when you're younger and you're, you know, talking about shit that ordinarily you don't necessarily talk about with other people. Outside of your partner. But someone had sarcastically mentioned pegging. Although, and I can't remember what they called it, but they didn't call it pegging. And I just remember someone being like, pegging? Like with all this like judgment. Whatever the hell they called it, I can't recall. But I just remember it making me laugh. And unbeknownst to me, that the girl I was then, you know, fooling around with, one of her like biggest fantasies in life was that she wanted to peg a dude. And to that point in her life, she hadn't. So, I mean, she was a real fucking bitch and I really disliked her as a human. The sex was great, but I disliked her as a human. But that said, I really hope she got to peg someone someday. She seemed really into the idea. Like she got elated at the diner that evening, about the thought of doing so. But no.
This person says, are you fans of foreplay?
Big fan. Yeah. So I am big in like anticipation, and like workup, right? So for me, you know, I was just having this conversation with a buddy of mine, the other day as well. I am almost selfless to a point of fault. I love to make, you know, my partner feel extremely desired, and extremely satisfied, like more so, like I get off more so on them getting off than me ever actually getting there myself. You know, which intro to my fucking marriage. Steph's the opposite. Steph's like a dude. She's just like, all right, let's just get this out of the way. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now? So it's very, very awkward. but no, that, you know, like I said, that all that said, you know, I believe that, you know, if you can sit there and work yourself up and, you know, I'm trying to think of a better word than squirm, but like, if you can make a person's like entire body kind of feel like excited for an experience and like to the touch, just like extremely sensitive, you know, by the time you get to, you know, the main event, you know, like they may have already gotten off a few times. They may be extremely sensitive at that point, you know, and they may come just that much harder. And I think any time that you do foreplay well, the sex, in my opinion, is typically significantly better. And then the afterwards is also particularly better. You know, if you get a text the next day while they're at work and they're just like, I'm still throbbing thinking about last night. It's like, great, great. You know, when you don't get that text, when someone just spits on their hand and says, like, let's just bang this one out real quick. That's just kind of like a, okay, I guess. That, thanks for the evening of 5 minutes of fun. But yeah, big foreplay fan. You know, I like concentrating on my partner, you know, and making them feel every bit as desired as they should.
Huh.
I
was just going to say, stick it in, get the fuck out of my house, but, you know.
Well, so this is two different perspectives, right? So this is, you know, coming from a male-female relationship to a male-male relationship, right? So I don't know how that might be, if that would be different for different circumstances. Because don't get me wrong, some of the best times in my life have been like, you know, we're out at a restaurant somewhere, maybe, you know, not necessarily, well, early me and Steph, sure. And like, you're out with a bunch of friends and next thing you know, you're either in the bathroom of the bar or you're in a car in the parking lot. And it's one of those, just like, get on top of me and let's go. That's kind of like a, you know, I think that's like an environmental stimulation, right? You're like, wow, we shouldn't be doing what we're doing right now. This is really hot. This is great. But I think that like when you're with someone for, you know, a long time and it's part of your week, I do think that you should appreciate their body in a way that, you know, that makes even the maybe not so super sexual parts, you know, feel stimulated and aroused in certain ways as well. So I think it goes both ways, but I don't, you know, I won't know what it's like for you. I feel like perhaps you really are just like a, hold on, I need you to do this and then I need you to leave so I can shit in private.
Pretty much.
Which is fine, you know, to each their own. But my perspective is certainly a little different.
This is a topic where just two completely different fucking different people answering these questions.
You're 100% going to get some very very different responses here. Jesus.
Good. This person says, "What do you think of long distance relationships?"
I used to be very against the idea. And I actually think now it would be something that, you know, I would entertain. I do not know that I could do like a long distance marriage, but I think that like if I had a, you know, if Stephanie and I had been dating for a year or two, and then she got a job out west, you know, it would be the type of thing where it was like, hey, this is going to challenge us a bit, but we're going to work on our communication. I think that's a really important thing. And I think that it's the type of thing where it's like, is this an indefinite coastal difference or location difference, or is this something that we're going to work through? So before, that might have been my thought, might have been like, well, we're just going to break up then, right? Like, that's how this works. Like, you're going to be all the way over here, I'm going to be all the way over there. Like, we're just kind of donezo. And I think now it's the type of thing where I think I'd be entertaining the conversation of like, all right, well, what do we want to do? You know, if you took a job in another state and it's like it's a great opportunity for your career, it seems like that might be the move for us. Is this something your partner would entertain of like, hey, you're going to come there in X amount of time? Great. What's up? You laughing because you're just like...
Again, complete opposite answer. My mind went to, if the wife's away, it'll be much easier to have a side piece. But like...
Naturally. This fucking guy. Nope. Not my And hey, that might be something that people talk about, right? Like that could be the, the whole, my buddy right now, him and, or his wife before they were together. That's exactly what she was like. She was like her previous fiance before my buddy had lived in Europe. And they were like, listen, we're only going to see each other 2 months out of the year. You know, I'll go there for a month straight. You'll come here for a month straight. She goes, but we both obviously have needs. So they just had an open relationship for 10 months out of the year and it worked for them. And it was like, great. If that works for you, go do what you want to do. But if you're committed to the idea of one another, you know, I think that there's a way to make
it depends
it
what you're looking for.
Exactly.
If you actually want the other person, you could probably deal with a long distance relationship for at least some level of time. But...
Can you fucking imagine the sex you'd have if you hadn't seen someone in 3 months that you were used to sleeping with often?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah, I don't know. But no, I to answer the question in short, yeah, I think long distance relationships can work so long as the communication is very open and honest. And if you're like Dan and you need to have a side piece along the way, that's a conversation that you have. Say, hey, I still have sexual needs. Is this going to be okay for you? And to each their own, right? I'm not going to judge on that. If that's something that works for a relationship, it works for a relationship. But Dan, if you're out there fucking people on the side and not telling your partner about it, you're a real dick for that.
Well. God, the guy at Jamba Juice is making eyes at me. What was I supposed to do?
I've never seen like a less amount of care come from someone's eyes when I said that. Like there was just like this, just like, the dick wants what the dick wants.
Oh, God. This person says, do you get jealous if your partner is talking to another man?
No.
That's psycho behavior. Don't do that.
I don't think it's psycho behavior. I think that there's sometimes a reason to be jealous. And I think that jealousy is a necessary emotion at times. I think if you're never jealous of something or someone, you're either confident to a point of arrogance or you're not as interested as you should be. Look at you. I just saw that little smirk. So you're arrogant. That's Dan over there. He's just like, nope. Oh, here we are again. Two separate sides. One of these questions we might align. Who fucking knows? So, I think jealousy is a necessary behavior at times. It just cannot be the overwhelming behavior or emotion, I think, ever. If it becomes an omnipresent one, like then I think you got a fucking problem, whether you're the problem or whether your partner's behavior is the problem. There's something to kind of unpack there. But no, let me put it this way. So, Zach Ertz, I did a photography shoot for the Eagles, 2015 or 16 or so. Zach Ertz, handsome fucking guy, was one of the three Eagles that were there for this particular shoot, found Stephanie just absurdly attractive and certainly let me know that it's Zach Ertz. And it's one of those things where it's like, I could sit there and be like, well, she's definitely going to leave me for Zach Ertz. Or I could just be like, all right, well, you know what? She is a beautiful woman and I get the appeal of anyone, but I trust Steph, you know, and we're good here. I decided to just say, hey, if that guy thinks my wife's attractive or then girlfriend, I was like, I'm doing okay. And had she left me for Zach Ertz, I'd have a pretty great fucking story.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't care.
I actually think Stephanie's like you. I think she gets off on the idea. When other women show me attention in any capacity, so my one friend on Twitter, she'll she'll be in my mentions occasionally if we're talking baseball and such. And it's like clockwork. Every time Stephanie sees this woman like post something to me, I know that night she'll suddenly find me attractive again, despite my increasing obesity. I think that she gets off on things like that. I don't think it's a jealousy thing. I think it's I think she likes the power of having something that she perceives somebody else might want, which, you know, no one does. So I don't know where she's getting it from, but that's okay.
this person says, what's a relationship deal breaker?
Are you talking about like in general or specifically for us, do you think?
I would assume it's probably for us, but I guess it could be in general.
All right. Well, specifically for me, I am not someone who, I'm not someone who, could be in like a polyamorous relationship. I respect the lifestyle. If that's something that works for people and everyone's kind of on the same page, go for it. I have a very good friend who, him and his previous wife, were polyamorous, and they were each sleeping with another married couple, like whatever. And then they just like wife swapped and carried on with their life, which isn't shockingly the weirdest part of this story. Then throughout their continued polyamory kind of whatever, his new wife gets pregnant and they're both Caucasian people and she shit out an Asian child. And that to me is terrifying. I feel like if that's tough, I don't know that that's something I could handle. And I understand it's, you know, I don't want to say risk. That's the wrong word.
Part of the life.
You know, but it is part of that lifestyle of like you very well may run into, you know, because of that type of activity and shared partners. You don't know. And I just don't know that that's something that I would be able to be okay with. So yeah, I think if I was with someone who wanted to enjoy that particular type of lifestyle, I would have to say that it's something that just wouldn't align with me. I think that's one of like the biggest ones. I think other than that, like, I would say if you're just not like a kind and respectful person who can have genuine conversation, I feel like that's a really difficult thing. Like if you can't communicate with someone in like a healthy way, there's no way that relationship can last. So if you don't have the ability to talk, I think that's a pretty big red flag for me. I think I think those are the biggest deal breakers.
You know, like commitment.
Meaning like if they want commitment or.
Yeah.
So you're a little more open.
Some level of, maybe not open as in I'm going to go, you know, bang my Asian neighbor, but open as in I have no interest in marriage. And if that's your thing, like, I don't think we're going to work out.
I mean,
because I always want to pull out the card. If I want to go bang my Asian neighbor, I can do that.
Sure.
But I don't necessarily want to. But if there was a time and I got to pull that ripcord, I don't want to go through divorce papers first and alimony and shit like that.
Sure. And I think that's all very fair. I would say if you don't align on like your core beliefs across the board, you're in for some really, really difficult conversations. I think that's all very fair.
And also smoking. I will not fuck you if you smoke.
Really?
Yes. Gross.
Have you never smoked in your life?
Nope.
Huh. You have the voice of someone who would have smoked at some point. That's very surprising to me. I don't particularly love, you know, I can't say that I'm a big fan of sitting there and kissing someone who smokes regularly. That being said, I do love the smell of cigarettes. Like if you have the occasional cigarette, I'm kind of like, I love this smell. And I don't know why. I don't know why that is, but whatever. So, yeah, those I would say are my biggest deal breakers to start. Low sex drive. I'm someone who has an insatiable appetite. Like, kind of feel like that's a real tough one.
This one just says favorite position question mark.
I suppose that means sexually.
It's not political position.
It could be.
Well, this text line, I guess it couldn't be. That's true.
No, I don't think this particular text line, I don't think they know what politics are. I think that's very partner driven. I don't know if that's the same for you. Have you noticed in your like sexual endeavors that like it really does, it might be different with different people. Like it's not just one of those things where it's like doggy style always.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like it's, and I know that's a bit of a cop out of an answer, but like if you don't, so doggy style is great, right? But if you don't have like a little bit of cushion there, like it's not the same. Like it's fine. Don't get me wrong. Like it's still good, but like visually, like there's that whole visual element of that where it's just like, all right, like, hey, this still feels good. But I feel like I'm missing something versus like, hey, this one has just a set of cheeks on her, or him in your case. And it's like, this is a good bounce. I like this. You know, this is something to grab. This is something to smack. That's very different. You know, I think there are people, I would say the one thing that like I could forever do without, not a 69 guy. I don't think that it's just strange. I am not a huge missionary person. I don't like for my entire life. But I mean, I suppose, you know, at times, whatever. I would say that the ones that immediately come to mind are if you're having a lazy day and you just kind of want to wake up and test the boundaries, spoon doggy is lovely. You just kind of, you know, rock the tip there for a second. If they lean back, you're like, it's happening. And neither one of you have to address each other at all. It's just like, like sure. And just a little arch back and a little, little access. So that's lovely in the mornings. You're a reverse cowgirl. And I think it's probably because like, I know that for the most part, that's not particularly a position that like, that really gets them off, but it's definitely one that will finish me. Like, I feel like if you've gotten there several times and now we're at the point of this process where it's like, all right, now let's get Shane off because like they're done. I'm like, turn it around. Like, I'm here for that. That's probably, I would say, my favorite like finishing move of a female.
I am like Serena Williams. I hit from the side.
Yeah, right. Spoon doggy. That's where it's at.
Missionary Monday, baby.
Missionary Monday. Oh God, I don't think I've ever been in a relationship where it was like. Actually, no, that's not true. Isn't this just the way? Here's a random story. This girl looked like every one of my friends when they found out that I was sleeping with this girl years back. They were like, dude, you're going to call us bleeding and naked from the shower and crying. She is going to have her fucking way with you. And I was so fucking excited. And she had never done anything other than just missionary or her on top.
Huh.
Like nothing. And I'm like, you're 21 years old and you look like this. And you've had the amount of partners that you've had. And none of them have been like, let's fuck around some. Mind-blowing to me. That was fucking bizarre.
You ever do any BDSM?
I am less than vanilla, sir. it's not, yeah. So I would say, you know what? Here, that's probably another, to go back to that previous question, that's another deal breaker for me. I think that if you're not willing to experiment, at least in part, in that type of a lifestyle, and in that type of like a sexual relationship, I don't know that we're going to line up. I don't think you're a bad person. I don't think that you'd be a bad partner. I just think that we wouldn't line up super well. I think there's got to be an element there. And I think, you know, for as lame as this might sound, you know, because certainly it's fun, you know, to go ahead and do that and to introduce that. But there's also that element of like, of trust and intimacy that you get from that when it's done well and done right, that I think heightens that experience a lot, and certainly makes the sex that much better. So if that's something that you're not at least mildly willing to entertain, I don't know that we would line up for a long-term partnership. Yeah, I don't know. Are you?
I cannot say I've done much stuff like as an adult. It's definitely not as freaky as it used to be. But back in my college days when it was one-night stands every night, oh, buddy!
So that's bizarre to me. Like, and again, that might just be, you know, the lifestyle differences of gay relationships versus straight relationships. To me, that is something that is not really, if you're sleeping with someone once on a one night stand or like you're, it's like a casual, but you haven't done this very often type of thing. I feel like it's, I don't want to say strictly vanilla, but like, I feel like you're not really breaking out all the whips, chains, toys, gags, and things like that.
That is one
like,
thing that it was almost exclusively crazy shit from random crazy people in Philadelphia on random gay dating sites and whatnot back then.
Boy, you gays.
Just
you
exclusively
have
crazy shit, yeah.
I'm telling you, you have the fun. Yeah, I don't know. To me, I don't think that I've ever been in like a, hey, I'm going to sleep with this person once. Here, do you want to see the third nightstand drawer and my entire ottoman and my closet worth of shit?
Yeah.
I want to see you cry. Like, I don't think that's exactly something that we're talking about. So, yeah, but I don't know. Look, to each their own.
Yeah, it is my favorite kind of porn to watch for study reasons.
For studying reasons?
That's the kind of stuff, like, not even cock in hand. I'm just like, how do they do this?
That's funny.
What am I watching right now?
He's got a notebook out, not a dick.
Taking notes, how to set up contraptions and whatnot. Yeah.
That's too funny. How did they tie themselves like this? Is there a third party in the room strictly for tying?
I think that was about half, so I think we'll call part one of the relationships here.
And then all right.
Pick back
wow,
up
we
in
really
a
did get a lot. All
few
right.
minutes. Yeah, we got a lot of relationship ones.
That's awesome. It's a good topic, though.
So yeah, at Dan the Fly Van Upperly, Pocket Brotherly underscore pod, you too can text in about your BDSM fantasies, 267-227-0328. And Shane!
I like that you went back to Shane and stopped the Billy thing.
It just it has got such a better ring to it.
Well, it's what feels right now because it's been 5 years of it. but yeah, you guys can get me on Twitter. It's at Billy Meets. And then as always, just like Dan mentioned, you know, this is a mini series that we're going to continue, you know, through. Well, boy, this is weird to continue to sit here and say that because
it's gonna
when
be,
they
yeah,
listen to this.
Months.
Yeah. Well, this might be a series that we continue.
Maybe something we do again in the off season when I need content.
Sure.
It seems to be working out well. So, yeah.
Well, we'll do it again. Probably not a bad idea. So 267-227-0328.
All right, everyone. Until next time, goodbye and good night.